Blog Talk Radio. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ and praise the Lord. Welcome to Wednesday edition of The Rock, where we are lifting up the name of Jesus. Jesus declared in John 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up on the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." My name is Elder Thomas Williamson, and I greet you in that wonderful name of Jesus, letting you know we thank God for giving us the grace for today that we can be a blessing and minister, share on the word of the Lord tonight. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we want to invite you to go to Romans. And as you turn there, we're going to open up, invite you to go with us to the throne of grace as we pray and seek the Lord for his wisdom tonight. And we'll do our announcements at the end, but we're going to go before the throne. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you that it is in Christ, it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. We thank you, God, for being our shield and our glory and the lift up of our head. Father, we thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord God, we pray that you will bless us, oh God, and give us your wisdom, God, as we seek life's situations. Father, we just honor you because you're so faithful. Continue to make a way out of no way because you are God who's concerned about us. There is nothing too hard for you because we believe, oh God, that whatever we speak, we can possess. And Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you knowing that your word of God teaches us that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Oh God, be pleased to anoint us, oh God, afresh. And we just give your name the glory. We give your name all the praise for the victory. For tonight we cast all our cares upon you, for you care just for us. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Tonight, we want to invite you to turn with us to the book of Romans tonight. The 10th chapter, and we're going to begin at verses 9 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. The Bible says, "Thou mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Notice verse 9 again, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you from the theme, Confession Brings Possession. Confession, possession. When we talk about confession, we're basically saying that what you say, you will get. People are saying today many things that they want in life, and sometimes they don't recognize that what they say actually comes to pass. And you find people talking about, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. And that's what they'll be, broke, busted, and disgusted. Why? Because they've already set in motion words or a frame around a picture. Now, when we look at this scripture, it says, if thou confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. And most time we hear this in relation to salvation. This word saved is translated from the word Zozo, that's spelled S-O-Z-O, which means to be healed spiritually and healed physically. I'll say it again. This word saved is translated from the Greek word Zozo, which means to be healed spiritually and healed physically. Healed in body and healed in soul, or saved from sin and saved from sicknesses. The same word is also translated meaning healed, preserved, saved, and made whole. We know that our Lord Jesus did a lot of healing. And he did a lot of deliverance. So we can see here, just from what the Apostle Paul has said, that our confession brings possession. Notice a little bit further here, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, in other words, confession is made unto salvation. Salvation does not come until after confession is made. So, you're not saved until you say you're saved. It's all right for somebody to tell you you got Jesus. No, you need to know for yourself. That is, one must believe, and confession should be made before experiencing the desired result. You can see that this is faith, and because of that, the Bible says, based upon Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's by grace we are saved through faith. One thing we have to remember, that confession comes first. And then Jesus, who is the high priest, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And he'll respond by granting us the thing that we have confessed. There is no such thing as salvation without confession. You got to say what you want. You got to believe what you say, say what you mean. It is always confession unto salvation, never possession before confession. Our confession, in other words, what we say, causes the high priest of our confession to grant us what we believe with our heart. And we have to life and godliness if we speak what we need. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Notice now, we have a high priest, and our high priest will grant us the desires that we have or that we believe in our heart. Whatever we have, this will bring us to the possession. If I want a car, I not only got to confess the car, but I need to go and look. I need to have a vision of that car and that particular thing I'm believing and expecting God for. Even your deliverance, No person can be delivered unless they're expecting God to deliver them. God's not, he's a gentleman. He's not going to come down and make you accept salvation. He's not going to demand you to do anything, but to give you the opportunity to receive him. Many people are waiting for a word from a certain person, a word from a renowned name person. But when you get in this word of God, he'll begin to teach you the things that you need. We must understand that God is a God who's concerned about us. We have everything that we need. So we got to understand, what is the description even of faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, not yesterday faith, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now that is faith. That's a description of faith. God is a faith God. That is to say, he is a God who demands faith. We receive from God only the things we believe we receive. So if you believe that you receive bad things happening, that's what you're going to have. The Bible says all things, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's Mark 11:24. So it's important for us to understand that whatever you desire, you got to make sure your desires line up with the word of God. You can't claim somebody else's stuff. You can't claim somebody else's possessions. You have to believe what the word of God says. In 1 John 5:14, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask to his will, he heareth us. And whatsoever, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the desire that we desired of him. The question might come in your mind, what is confession? Well, confession is faith testimony in our mouth. It's faith testimony in our mouth. When we were growing up in the church, a lot of stuff that were called testimony were not testimony. But as I began to study the word and meditate in the word and was taught the word by great teachers, we began to understand confession is simply agreeing with God. In other words, saying what God says, God's word. We were using God's expression and his declaration. We're not only doing that, but we was acknowledging God's word. In other words, we can't do anything without the word of God. We need his word. It is important that we can say what the word of God says about a situation. If you're expecting healing, then you have to find scriptures that match up with healing. You have to find scriptures that match up with your deliverance. It's not somebody being a super saint, a super wonder. It's somebody who simply said, I believe what God said, and what God says, I know he'll bring it to pass. If only I can just believe. Not only if I believe, but if I continue to hope in his word. Hope in his word. We know that God loves us, but we know this, that his love does not change based upon our behavior. But we understand there's a price to pay when we don't do called us to do. And if we continue, if we're going to be one who confess and our confession is going to bring possession, then we must understand that we only can be successful if we operate based on the word of God. Consider what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6. The Bible says that in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Notice, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. What did he say? In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Are you a wicked person? Are you encouraging people to the things of God, or are you motivating people to do wrong? We have to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do. You do understand the Bible says in Colossians 1:13, who, talking about Jesus now, it said, excuse me, talking about this was the Apostle Paul writing concerning what God the Father will do, said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, God the Father, had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So again, I say to you, confession is simply agreeing with God, saying what God says, speaking God's word, using God's expression and his declaration, acknowledging God's word, the word of God. That's why it's so important for us to make up in our mind that we're going to meditate in the word, because in the word, there's strength. In the word, there's guidance. In the word, there's deliverance. In the word, we have an answer. Jesus used the word of God, so what make us think that we are not going to have to use the word of God? We will. We ultimately understand that we can have no victory apart from God's word, because God and his word cannot be separated. So when we talk about the word of God, we must understand that his word is so precious. That's why the enemy will try to have you do all sorts of things. He'll have you watch 20 hours of TV, the word, and you go to sleep before 3 minutes is over with. No, the word is quick. In fact, let's look at that. Hebrews 4:12 declares this unto us. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, this word quick means made alive. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice now, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. So the word of God is so important in confessing that Jesus himself gave us this word in John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Notice, he said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I want you to see in the word of God an example of some people who actually searched the word of God. This is what they did every day. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have anything to do in the daytime. Yes, you do. If you're a believer, you got to spend some time in the word of God. That's why I tell people all the time, you cannot just sit up and talking about you saved and you don't spend no time in the word. Your Bible is somewhere and you want to do everything but meditate in the word of God. And the enemy is so wise. He'll let you do everything. He'll let you do some of the wonderful things you do. And we're not saying that those things may be wrong, but if you don't spend any time in the Word, it will show in your walk, in your talk. And that's why many of God's people are persuaded, because they don't spend any time in the Word, they don't know the Word, and when they hear certain things, they don't know when people are presenting to them truth or error. But I want you to look in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Let's look at what was going on. In the 17th chapter, verse 10, the Bible said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Look at verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures." What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's why I love for people to check me out. Don't just say, "Well, Elder Williamson said this." No. See what the Bible says. I always tell you all the Bible declares, or the Bible says, because I want you to go back and look these scriptures up. And if I'm going too fast, you're welcome to download the audio, and you can listen to it the next day. But notice verse 11 again. It said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." See, they received the word, and they had a ready mind. "And they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The Bible said, "Therefore many of them believed." Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. The Bible said, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul, Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." Now, you know you're going to have an enemy, the enemy of the devil, that comes in. You have people that come to be a distraction. And know they're not, they know they're sunk from the enemy. Anybody that will pull you out the will of God, you know they are sunk from the enemy. And therefore, you have to understand and recognize it. And when you recognize it, you rebuke it. You run. You know, God gave us a pair of feet. That's what you're supposed to do with them? Not only walk, but run. So we're talking about confession, and we're talking about confessing God's word. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life." Notice now, he said, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life." Three things he gives us here. First, he says, "For the commandment is a light." Commandment is a lamp. Excuse me. Commandment is a lamp. That's the first thing. God's commandment. Many people have problems with following through with instruction, but friends, we got to be obedient to all of them. We can't just listen to our local pastors. It's wonderful to listen to them, but we need to hear every chance God give us. You put somebody in your path to say, "This is what you need to do." We got to be open to the Spirit of God. Open. Many people don't like direction, but part of God's love is correction. So, getting back to our theme, so confession, we said, is agreeing with God, saying what God's saying, speaking God's word and using God's expression and his declaration, acknowledging God's word. We have to understand that confession is faith only. Faith only way. If we're talking about getting something by faith, it is confession is faith only way of expressing itself in our testimony. That's why we got to tell people what about the goodness of God, make known his deed. The Apostle Paul had declared that he had preached the word of faith. Then he told us that the word of faith must be in our heart. And not only in our heart, but in our mouth. The only way to have the word of faith in our mouth is to talk the word of God. This is confession, making our lips agree with God, speaking God's word with our mouth. We must read Romans 10 and 8. Let's look at that. Romans 10 and 8. The Bible says that is the word of faith which we preach. We ought not only need to confess, but preachers need to preach the word of faith. Sometimes in a lot of local circles, the enemy uses each other to fight against each other. But there's strength in all of us. We can learn from each other. And what we have to do is you got to know how to eat the fish and throw away the bone. There's a lot of places you can't go because the word of God not being preached. People are being tossed on an emotional high. But I'm fully persuaded that when you want to be delivered, you're going to go to the right place to be delivered. The Lord will lead you if you allow him to. In Revelation 12, verse 11, the Bible declares that they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So Revelation 12, 11 tells us that those who overcome the devil did so through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That is, through the scripture they quoted as they gave their heaven a high priest, the high priest of our confession. Now, if we was asked to pray for a person who was, say, for example, sick or weak. Now, if we do that and we feel no immediate results, we then ask him to repeat what God says. One of my friends has shared with me the value of praying for people is to let them say or repeat after you their deliverance. Because they got to say what they want. They got to ask God for their deliverance for themselves. It's not just for them to, for one person to pray, but we have to learn to pray. Let them speak the word of God over their situation so they can come out. For example, if a person say, I want to be delivered from alcohol, then they need to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I accept my deliverance based on your word, that you will deliver me from unclean spirits like alcohol or whatever the case may be. They have to make a confession themselves. So it's important for them to say. If somebody is sick, they got to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Of course, Isaiah 53:5 declares, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then after we confess that by his stripes I'm healed, and we begin to praise the Lord for the healing according to his word. thing we have to understand that deliverance is just as near in your mouth. I want you to know that no matter what you are facing in life, God will bring you out. But you have to understand that his word is true. And there's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing too hard for our God. And when we think about this great high priest, then we must journey over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And the 14th verse. Oftentimes, you all may hear me on the broadcast, and I might quote Hebrews 4:16, which talks about, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, generally before we pray. But we started out earlier tonight using Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, after the writer says that, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, his name, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, seeing we have that, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then it comes again to that verse that I love. Let us therefore come boldly, with confidence, with assurance, unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace or favor to help in time of need. No matter what you're going to do, God's grace is sufficient for whatever situation you may be facing. You might recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had faced a situation that he himself dealt with. And his situation was that he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him. In the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians and verse 7, that is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Look what the Bible says about this. Unless I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh, well, people argue over this, but the Bible tells us here, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should be exalted above measure. The Bible says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In other words, he sought the Lord three times about it. He prayed about it, and this was the answer he got. The Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect how? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Why? that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, Paul goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. But notice now, he says, God's response to him was, my grace, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So it is important for us to understand that grace is God's favor. God's favor. Don't deserve it, but he does it anyway. He blesses us in spite of ourselves. So we have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, it also talks about the high priest. Look at chapter 3. This is Hebrews chapter 3. And let's look around the first verse. You really have to read both of these chapters in your study time. But look what he says. Therefore, excuse me, Hebrews 3. I'm going to give you another one. Hebrews 3. The Bible says, wherefore, holy brethren, the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our, hear that word again, profession or confession. His name is Christ Jesus. Notice it again. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house. In other words, the house wouldn't have any kind of glory without the person who actually built the house. But every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. The Bible talks about how Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of the things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? And look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. Notice that again. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and departing from the living God. But exalt one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. How? Through the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says, but we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. How? Steadfast unto the end. Look at that again in Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 14. He says, take heed. In other words, pay attention to this now. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He calls it an evil heart when you don't believe what God's word says and departing from the living God. He said, but exalt or encourage or build up exhort one another daily while it is called today. If any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made for, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Steadfast to the end. But it all starts with the apostle and high priest of our profession. His name is Jesus. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, declares unto us, he says to us in Hebrews 10 and the 23rd verse, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. The promise. So we can hold fast because we have a great apostle and high priest of our confession. His name is Jesus. And what he did on the cross, he's already did the finished work. But it's up to us to receive it. Thing we must understand about this is that whatever we say, it's going to come to pass. That's why it's so important for us. You may not have everything in your home, but you got to begin to see and say what God's word say about it. You want new furniture? You want a new car, vehicle, whatever you want. Whatever you want deliverance, you got to call it out. You're not calling to some flesh to do it because you understand that this flesh is limited. And even if you had a person that had a lot of money, they still may not give it to you. That's why you can't. Your source cannot be a natural being. You have to understand and believe that if God is your source, he can touch anybody's heart. The heart of the king is in his hand as a river of life and eternity. Whatsoever way he will, God will turn it. He'll cause men to give to your bosom. That's why you can't get dependent on one person and say, this person is going to do it. No, he may not use that person. Sometimes people get that way, even in services. They want certain songs going to be sung every Sunday that's supposed to bring deliverance. It may not happen that way. That's why you got to be led of the Spirit. So we believe that if we say what we say, what we want, we'll have what we say. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, that verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the thing which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Notice in that one verse alone is what he said. There's so many translations of said, so many forms of saying there. Then you know that whatever you say, you're going to have. And then he says, Jesus said, and what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. And then he said that, and when you stand praying, forgive. Now, that's another element of after you confess, whatever you pray and asking God for, you got to forgive. You can't hold things in your heart against people, no matter what they've done to you. Because if you don't forgive, that person's still holding you captive. So, Father, tonight we thank you. What a privilege and an honor it is to share your word. Thank you for what you are doing with us and through us. Thank you for the radio audience, God. Thank you that your word will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which you please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. God, we just want to say thank you for loving on us. Thank you for the grace that is sufficient. Thank you for our deliverance. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio, Lord. What a blessing it is that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you will continue to bless your people, God. Those that are sick and afflicted, we thank you for deliverance. God, we just praise you and give you glory, Lord. We know that you're a miracle worker. Father, tonight we pray for Linda that you will bless her, touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. We thank you for being a mighty deliverer. Oh, God, and we just give you glory. By your stripes, she's healed. We love you, Lord, and we give your name praise. We give your name glory and honor. We just love you, Lord. Thank you that the lives of your people are transformed tonight through your word. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. We just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise for the victory. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we thank and praise God for blessing us to share with you tonight in the word of God. Remember that if you desire to correspond with us, please do so by writing Prayer of Faith Ministries. That's Post Office Box 1289, Jackson, Mississippi 39215. That's Prayer of Faith Ministries. That's P.O. Box 1289, Jackson, Mississippi 39215. Remember that we are here on the radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio at 11 o'clock Eastern Central, 9 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Pacific, and 3 a.m. Universal Time. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're just here to encourage and let you know that no matter what your situation, the Lord God is our help. Bible says, so that we may boldly say the Lord is our helper, and we will not fear what man shall do unto us. If you desire to call us, you may do so at 601-502-1150. That is 601-502-1150. Feel free to call anytime. If you need prayer, you need a word from the word of God, we just want to encourage you. So we just thank and praise God for tonight's lesson. Thank you for being a great audience. But without you, there would be no show. What a blessing. It's always good to have people out there praying for us, lifting us up in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. You all be encouraged in Jesus' name until we greet you right here on Friday night, the Lord's will. This has been our broadcast for March 25th. March 25th, 2015. This is the 84th day of the year. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. And Numbers 6, verse 24 says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Elder Thomas Williamson reminding you that Jesus is Lord, and we will see you the next time right here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. Everyone have a great night in Jesus' name.